Welcome to the C3V podcast.
Well, g'day. It's really good to say hello to everybody back home, and you've been in quite a transition since we left, and I want to speak some word of encouragement to you at this time. As you make that transition into the Beaumont Centre and all the changes that have been outworked at this time with Glenn and Suze's leadership getting firm and the direction that we're heading in as a church. So let me just read a few things and share a few things as we go here. I'm sitting in a courtyard of a school where we're about to do another meeting here at Cabramatta in the southern side of Sydney, hence the beautiful gum tree in behind me here. A few things I want to say, three things I want to say. First of all, embrace this time of shift for all that it's worth. You know, in a transition, in a time of shift, it's always bigger than we think. There's other things going on, and the other things are very positive. The other things are in the plan of God. We learned in COVID that we had been parked for a purpose. Well, I have to say, even this transition time of Al being away, the building, moving location, and Suze and Glenn, and Glenn holding the fort in the pulpit, and all those kinds of things, there is something going on, and it's a transition. Change, shift, transition is a value shaker. Some people maybe even decide that's not what I sort of signed up for when I first came to this church, or I have a preference for something else. And certainly we've seen people follow their preferences and maybe their guidance too as they've moved to other parts of the city for church and so on. That's okay. That's very okay. But for those who feel called and part of what we do, you know, sometimes a transition is a value shaker, and we have certain values that are ours as a church, and I want to encourage you to look into what has made us us and buy in all the more, because the values don't change. Circumstances do, places do, and sometimes even personnel do. But if we are walking in the light of His vision and His call for us, that's God's light and vision and His call for us, then the values will remain the same. So values can be shaken at a time like this. We are a community. We are a family. We're a people in love with our city. We're a people in love with one another. We're a people who want to be and always hope to be an indispensable part of the life of our community. And we have these broad sweeping statements in a lot of our vision material that should never change, no matter what the circumstantial things are that do change in a time of transition. So I want to bring you back to some of that. I'll leave it to Glenn and to Susanna to talk over some of the fineries of that. But also in a time of transition and change like this, it's not only a value shaker for some who say, well, that's not kind of like what I want now. It's a value maker. And I really want to encourage you this, because there's a tenacity that can get into our heart in a time of change that says, man, I'm sticking with this. I'm going to make it work. I've got the values of this house, the love for this house, the vision, the call. I embrace the word, the prophetic journey of this house, and I'm going to be part of it no matter what. And we can grow in our values. That's a value maker. We grow in our love for the church. We grow in our commitment. We grow in our love for each other. We grow in our sense of mission and call that we've been brought together for. And it becomes, in a time like this, a value making exercise as well. And these changes are always incorporated in God's plan. It never catches God by surprise. And somehow, even if perhaps some things He doesn't design, they happen through unfortunate circumstances or whatever in this world, He incorporates it in His plan. You know, Israel found itself to be a covenant nation in the upheaval of their transition in walking in the wilderness. And this is a pretty interesting thought. They have been called out of Egypt to go through the wilderness, to go into the promised land, the land of their promises. And it's in the wilderness that they actually found themselves to become a covenant nation. Before that, they were just an unidentifiable people, other than they were remotely related. And the Bible even tells us that they were a mixed multitude that came out of Egypt. So there was a bit of this and a bit of that, a bit like the old farm dogs we had in Australia. We used to call them Bitzers. We didn't quite know who they were and where they belonged to, but they were there. But what I'm saying with Israel, they only became a nation in the process of coming out and walking through the wilderness, in the process of the upheaval, in the process of the transition. They found themselves all the more as who they were called to be, all right? And so before Israel, in terms of a name, Israel, before it was a place, i.e. the promised land, it was a people. And there's these great verses. There's one in Hosea which says, I will say to those who are not my people, you are my people, and they shall say, you are my God. This is what happened in the wilderness for Israel. They began to look up, find God, and they said, you are my God. And he said, you are my people. Actually, he said it first. They took a little bit of convincing not to go back to Egypt and remain that anonymous, amorphous mass of people who had no name, you know. But when they started to process through the journeys of change and upheaval, they began to gather an identity by the very sense that God had confirmed them with his own statement, you are my people. And I think that happens in a transition to a people who walk through the processes. They begin to renew their call, begin to renew their sense of who they are. The values get strengthened and they start to hear from God again. And the preaching, you know, begins on a whole new kind of thrust into the vision and call of the church. I really believe Glenn has got that on his heart. I just noted in my head while I was talking here that he's doing a message or so on the wilderness, or has referred to this. I completely forgot that while I was starting to talk to you here this morning. So I think we're on to something, right? So we go through the wilderness as a value-making exercise. For some, it's been a value-shaking exercise. I didn't want to keep going that journey. But for us, we are learning again and re-establishing again as to who we are. We are the people of God. Isn't that wonderful? 1 Peter 2 and verse 10 repeats that text from Hosea 2 and 23. And Peter says this of the church. He says, you who were not a people are now the people of God. There's a certain sense of affirmation that we can make. We are the people of God because we're walking with him through whatever processes, and he is with us and he's speaking to our journey, and we are growing in our identity with him and with each other in this journey. I think we've talked about this before in the church when we were once in an earlier stage of our life as a church, the kind of a nomadic people going from this hall to that hall. We've got a lot of footprints all over the city, and you know, whether it's a hotel room like we've been in several different places, or whether it's a rec center, or whether it's a restaurant or a cafe, or even the theater down in the old Tinsel Town. We've got a lot of footprints around town, and we learned in that journey that you know, we were kind of, you know, people will say, where are we going to church today, you know? But actually, we learned to rephrase that question to say, and in every sense of the question, where is the church going? Where is the church going? Because we learned that the place doesn't identify define us. We are the people of God. The journey, the word, the leading, God in our midst, the clarification that he is our God and we are his people, the sense that we're walking with him, the long and winding road of obedience in one direction to the Lord, the sense that we're being vindicated over the whole long distance of our calling and being together, that we are a sent people, not a went people. We came and we did because God planted this church, and we're still on the long and winding road. I'm sort of borrowing a phrase from a Beatles song, it's a long and winding road, you know. But that's it. That's the Christian life. There's a proverb in Proverbs 15 that says, the way of the righteous winds upward. That's the winding road of the prophetic revelation, the prophetic journey that we're on together, that God speaks as he leads, and we keep going with God because in his voice in His Word, in His speaking to us, is the affirmation of God. The very fact that He still leads us is indication we are who we are as a people. We who were not a people once are now a people, and we continue in that identity and that journey. And so that's really important for me to say that to you at this time. Churches to be the place where the preceding word, the word that comes forth from God, you know, the Isaiah 55 verse 11, where so shall my word be that comes forth out of my mouth. Churches to be the place where we hear that word, and then in that preceding word that comes, it waters the potential that's in the soil, because it says it's like snow and rain that falls onto the earth that produces the harvest. And in a sense, there's something in the soil of our church, there's something in the makeup of us, because we are a people of God, that the preceding word, the constant speaking, preaching of the word of the Lord to us, the prophetic sense, then the messages that are coming, it's watering the potential of our church to fulfill that original call, that original purpose, as we walk in the values and walk the long and winding road of our prophetic journey together. And I just so believe that Glenn and others who will preach as we go along will be praying, seeking God, hearing from God, and then bringing a word from the Lord. And so their preaching is more than preaching, it's prophesying, because they've got something in their spirit and they're delivering it to us, and the Lord is endorsing it by His anointing and quickening in the meeting itself. I noticed on one of the videos that I watched a number of people responding to the altar calls, and I just go, fantastic, this is it. This is people hearing God and reaching out to make a response to what they've heard. I encourage you, get out on the altar calls. You know, find an excuse, make it apply to yourself if you don't think it does. Get hands laid on you. Get prayed over. Let there be a lot of impartation come down on the church at this time, because I really honestly, in what I'm saying, really believe that this is a transition of God. It's not just, you know, we lost a building, we couldn't, you know, go any further with the lease or anything like that. Not true. It's fallen into the plan of God, because we who are not a people are being made a people through the very journey of walking through the changes, the upheavals of wilderness lead us to the promised land, the land of our promises, the calling, the fulfillment of vision. And it is a long and winding road. So I want to encourage you in that, really just stand with you as a church, that you will buy into this moment of our significant history as C3 Church Vancouver. And look, I have just no shadow of a doubt that there's a fresh anointing, honestly, a fresh anointing, a new anointing coming on those that are picking up the load for us right now. And it's not just Glenn and Suze. It's some of you who are yet to shine in the gift and functions around them, as you start to feel what I'm saying here, that this is your home, this is where you identify in terms of being a people of God. God's going to give you room, because here's another thing that happens in the transitions that happen in a time of shift and change in the wilderness. You know, that's where Joshua emerged. That's where the new generation that led them into the promise that was always on them emerged. And I want to encourage that some of you that are sitting there listening to me here there today as the originator, but if you like, the kind of Moses in the story, there is new generation leading you now who've come up under us. But some of you are going to rise in this new season, and you people potentially have the opportunity of moving the church in the next decades into the fulfillment and hopes that we always dreamed would be for C3 Vancouver. You know, I could never do it alone. Patty and I could never do it by just us. It was never about us. We've never made it us. We're not superstar leaders saying, you know, look at me, look at me. That's not us. We've always wanted others to function and grow and lead and preach and minister. And we just know that there's more and more, because we know it's not about filling a pulpit. It's about fulfilling a prophetic journey that we have together, that the word of the Lord will come to pass, and not one word of His promise will in any way be lost. God will do what He's always promised he will do. It's a long and it's a winding road. And that's our prophetic journey. And we who were not a people have become a people by the very fact that the preceding word continues on and on. And you're hearing from God as he's watering the potential of this church through the preaching of those that are leading you and ministering at this time. So there you are. There's a Fletch word for you in this little season. And we're doing fine. Patty's good. You know, we're just taking time out. We're learning. We're listening. We're walking together. And, you know, be that as it may, I'm also ministering quite a bit here in Australia. So God bless as we sit here in the sunshine and just keep going along that long obedience in the one direction as we fulfill the word of the Lord together. We'll catch up with you again. God bless. Well, I hope you've been encouraged this morning by the Vision Sunday that's being presented to you through this means and, of course, through Glenn and Sue's leading you in this really important time. And look who's here with me just to sign off and to say hello. We love you.
Oh, hi, everybody. We're just standing here in Australia and it's just
beautiful
sunshine and it's beautiful. Love everyone there.
Yeah, love to you all. Goodbye. We love you. Bye. God bless.
Side. What are we going to do?
Perfect. I think we have a script. We have a script. Look at us go.
We do have a script. Sorry. Megs is doubling as photographer slash...
Oh, sorry. The switch is over here. Is that my good side?
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Ephesians 4, we all know this. It says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. We just want to have a little few thoughts around that. That I want you to notice too, it says, shepherds to and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Not, he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to minister to the saints. And I think that's kind of a long season that we've been through. I think that COVID really shook. And that was about consumer Christianity. That I would just chase conferences and chase the Spirit and chase this, but I wouldn't find myself because I wanted to be ministered to. Right. You know, I need this input. I need the value. You know, that's where I find myself, all these kinds of things. You know, I get lost in worship. You know, all these things. Anyway, I've got some other, but I'll stop there. But the point of those apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers is to equip you.
Right.
It's to equip the saints. It's to equip the people of God. In Bible College, I learned this, that equip means this, encourage qualities undeveloped in people.
So good.
That's our job. Our job is to equip you. We will minister to you. You know, my commitment is solid. That I spend all week thinking, praying, working up messages solely and purposely for you so you will get ministered to. But that's not the point.
Right.
The point is to equip you for the work. To equip you. You see, we're not...
Hang on, you're shifting.
I'm shifting. You see, here we go. Here's the point. We're not putting together a bake sale.
Right.
We're not running a fun run. We're not Lululemon putting on a run around Stan Stanley Park. And we need volunteers to come to make sure the mission is complete.
Right.
You are not volunteers.
And you've got volunteers to keep people on track as well.
Exactly. You're not volunteers. You are ministers.
Yeah.
And it would be disrespectful of me to only look at you, of us, to look at you as only as volunteers.
Right.
We just need helpers. We just need minions to help us fulfill. That is not it. You are a minister of God. And whatever you touch, whatever you put your hand to in this house, you are ministering God. See, you could stand at the door and say to someone, it's great to see you today while in the church. And that might be the first time all week that anyone said, it's good to see you.
Yeah.
You're a minister of God. You could be putting out chairs, but you're not just putting out chairs. You're making a place where people can sit and feel the presence of God. Sorry. You might be putting out the chair saying, God, whoever sits in here, pray in the place.
Yeah.
God, pour out this seat. You know, whoever's bum hits here, God, anoint. Right? That's really it. But you are a minister of God. And I want to help us see ourselves as that.
Mm-hmm.
As not just people doing a job. This isn't a job.
No.
It's not a job. I'm just all over the place. Sorry. Here we go.
That was good.
But
you want to talk about the purpose?
The purpose. All right. Let's go there.
You kind of already are there. He's already there. He's already talking about it. The purpose.
What was the purpose? What's the
to equip and empower us all to be builders and ministers of this house.
Perfect. You go. I said a lot.
That's what I'm just keeping you on track, but also elaborating that this is you're on track. This is what we're talking about. This is in Jeremiah. It actually talks about the fact that we are here to equip the saints. And so that's what we are here for. We are here to empower you as men and women, children, young, old, in between, to serve God in a way that fulfills the call that's placed upon your life while at the same time building the house of God. They're not one, two separate things. It's one together. As you serve, God builds. As he builds, you increase. As you increase, you have more to give out. As you have more to give out, you have more influence.
church. We're never going to be about reaching the 2,000 church member mark. That's not our goal. We don't have a number in mind. We really don't. But we do have a number in
mind. We don't have a number in mind. We have a city in mind.
That's exactly great.
Yeah.
intention of giving God space in the room, so that if God turns up in a mighty and powerful way and decides to put tongues of fire above everybody's heads and fill us with the Holy Spirit, we can do that. We've got till 2 p.m. But if that's not what happens, that's okay too. It means that, we have to encourage one another. We have to hang. There's so much coffee. We have lots of coffee. And we also have tea for those that prefer.
Here's some tools, have at it and see some bad happens. We just get intentional. And we're like, if we can just be intentional about Sundays, then that's where we will see his house getting built. So when we've got the house up there, by using your gifts and talents to build the house by playing your part.
Absolutely. You know, which is the how.
Which is the how. You know, in Acts, it says, this is what the prophet Joel, that his spirit will be poured out on all people. You see, before then, you had to be a priest, you had to be a prophet, and to be a king. But now God's saying, no, this is for all people. You all play a part in seeing God's spirit poured out.
What God Jesus saying to us this morning. Our focus isn't on the flippin' TV that is working today, isn't working. The lights aren't on. Like, all those things are important for creating a space, but when they take the pressure off this team that's doing the same things as preaching and song leading and meeting leading, imagine what could happen. We need people in production. Because right now, it's Megan and it's myself. So from up here, I'm running the stream, or I'm recording the message. We've done the mix before I got up here. Megan's doing the PowerPoint. We need people who we can train to do that. If you're a computer person, it's easy. If you're not, I can teach you.
Okay. That's kind of like find where you're good at. You know, you might be good at service, but standing on a door and greeting people is awesome. But you may be also too where you're like, yeah, I don't want to talk to anybody. I just want to stand behind the screen. Well, we've got a spot for you too, so you're in luck. Musicians and singers, you know? I just think the more we have worshiping, the better it creates the atmosphere.
Absolutely. Right?
And here's the deal. We can control the volume. So even if... but even if you're not that great of a singer, but you won't worship passionately, I would rather have
Thanks for listening to the C3V podcast. To find out more about our church, visit us at c3v.ca.